in the studio with me with an update from the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District is Executive Director Mike Lures. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Let's start off with the flush index.
So each month, we estimate the number of visitors in town based on wastewater flows. And for the month of May, we estimated that there were 95,690 visitor nights for the month. And that's down about 3% from May of last year. However, if you look at year to date, we're up about 2%. So, things aren't looking too bad.
Okay. And then you also check the weekly wastewater report every week. Tell us about that.
Right. So we continue to collect wastewater samples like a number of other wastewater facilities throughout the state. And we look for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which causes COVID-19. And here in Summit County, the levels are very low. And they've been low for quite some time. One interesting point is over in Wasatch County, Jordanelle and the Midway facilities are very low, but the Heber facility is very, very high. Not sure why, but that's just interesting information that we receive each week.
And I mean, what causes that? I mean, is it just there's an outbreak? And
well, I can't speak for the Heber area, but certainly here in the Park City area, we've seen a number of peaks where the numbers get pretty high, and it's typically following some kind of big event where we get a lot of people coming into town from elsewhere, and some of those folks are positive and they pass it on to others.
I'm just wondering, we had the sheepdog, right?
Yeah, that's
true. We're bringing a lot of people in town there for Memorial Day. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, let's move on in terms of have a look at some of the construction projects you've got going on.
Yeah, so over the next 4 months, the district will be installing a new sewer pipe inside old existing sewer pipes in about 50 locations throughout the city and basin. This technique was developed in Europe and quite a few years ago. It's called cured-in-place pipe, which requires really no digging. So we take a flexible material, it's kind of like a fiberglass pipe, and we insert it into the existing sewer line, and either we blow it up or we fill it up with water, and then we heat it up, and it sets the new pipe inside the old pipe, and that way we can get out of there in about 2 days' time, and we do not have to dig up the street and people's driveways and things like that. So if you see some unusual-looking trucks with a big flexible pipe on the outside. That's what we're doing. We're asking people to kind of keep an eye out for the workers, but this will be, a job that will involve about 50 separate locations, and it'll take us all summer long to complete it.
All right. So do you have, like, a map online or anything that...
We don't have a map online, but the residents that will be affected will be notified 48 hours in advance. So if we're going to be in your neighborhood, you'll get a little tag on your door or a knock and explaining what will happen. There is a little bit of an inconvenience for a short period of time because when we insert the new pipe inside the old pipe, we ask you not to flush or use any water for a short period of time so that we can get that pipe in there and connect your system to the new pipe, so to speak. And while that's a little inconvenience, it's pretty short-lived compared to if we had to, dig up the street.
Okay. And then what would happen? I mean, just it would run where? I mean, if somebody didn't?
Well, typically, if someone just, flushed a commode or took a shower, there's enough capacity in your service line to hold that water. But we don't want people doing laundry and all those kind of things.
Okay. So how long do these liners last?
These liners last are designed to replace the existing pipes, so they have 75 to 100-year life. So they're very, very effective. We've been using them for quite some time. And actually, while this project involves 50 locations and costs about $1.2 million, it's actually far less expensive than having to dig everything up.
Oh, sure. So the pipe itself, though, that you're putting the liners into, we've certainly got some abrasive soil in some locations. Mm-hmm. So are you seeing that you do have to replace those occasionally?
Well, the biggest problem we're having are some older concrete pipes that were installed, back in the 70s, which that's a type of material that we no longer permit to be installed for wastewater lines. And inside a sanitary sewer or, sewer line, you have what's called sewer gases, and that forms hydrogen sulfide gas, which in turn forms sulfuric acid. So that acid eats away on concrete pipes pretty quickly at times. So a lot of the pipes that we're lining or putting this new pipe inside over the old concrete pipes.
All right. So will you eventually need to replace the concrete around it?
Well, these pipes are designed, this new pipe that we insert into the old pipe structurally replaces the old pipe. So if the old pipe were to completely disappear, this new pipe is just like it's a new pipe. And it has all the characteristics of a pipe that you were to install if you were to, you know, dig in the middle of the street and put it in.
Hmm. And because now you have a smaller passage, right, in the pipe, because some of the liner is taking up some of that room, what does that do to your flows?
No, great question. Number one, the liners are fairly thin. You know, they're less than a half inch, and the inside of the pipe is very slick, unlike a concrete pipe. So actually, we have about the same capacity.
Interesting. Okay, let's see. What else have you got going on? Any other construction work?
We have quite a few access, I'm going to call it, not calling it roadway, but access points, corridors, we call them access corridors, that we're installing in a number of neighborhoods where over the years the development kind of blocked us out from accessing our pipes. We have some up in American Flag, and a few other places, and we've been working with the homeowners, and they've all been just fantastic to work with, and we'll be getting behind those homes and installing these corridors so we can get access to our system.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the differences between the sewer system and the stormwater system. Again, people will get a bill from you separately. They may see a stormwater fee on their water bill.
Right. So we get this question, you know, what's the difference between the sewer system, which we also call the wastewater system, and the stormwater system? Well, the sewer system collects all the water that you use in your home and business, and it's transported to one of our two wastewater treatment facilities. So that's what we call used water or sewer water, and it goes to the treatment plants for treatment. A completely separate set of pipelines collects all the rainwater and snow melt, and that's called the stormwater system. And that particular system typically transports the rainwater and snow melt to the nearest creek or stream. So the two pipe systems are completely separate. They are very frequently side by side in say neighborhoods. And if you have at the end of your street, you have a street drain or a culvert, one of these graded openings on the edge of your street, that's part of the stormwater system. And the stormwater system is not connected to the wastewater system in any way.
So when people put salt down on their driveways or sidewalks, all of that's going to flow into our streams?
That will flow into our local streams through the stormwater system, yes. So again, those catch basins on the edge of your street catch all that salt that you might have put on your walkway or your driveway, and it flows into that pipe, and it will go to the nearest stream or creek, and that's where the salt water goes.
All right, and same with you wash your car in the driveway, all that soap's going down into the creeks as well?
Exactly, and that's why they say, hey, you know, be very careful what you use on your car, and even if you have back in the days when a lot of cars used to drip oil, you know, that all got washed off into our local streams. And I will tell you that working with the Division of Water Quality, there is a problem, especially in the spring of the year, that the salt level in our local streams is elevated. And in some places, it's pretty high. And that's a real concern.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think of the tons of salt that the city and county put down on our local roads, you know, all that ends up in the local streams.
And then how does that get flushed or cleaned out?
Well, eventually it flows downstream to the Great Salt Lake.
Okay.
But, you know, there is an issue with salt levels in our local streams at certain times of the year that is concerning.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, what else can you use, though, to melt?
Well, I mean, you know, this is a safety issue. I'm not a road department or a public works person, but I can certainly understand the need to keep our roads safe for winter travel. You know, some places use a mix of sand and salt to help reduce the amount of salt. But, you know, let's face it, we live here in the mountains, and we have some pretty steep roads that the county and city need to maintain.
Mm-hmm. And then there's certainly, we hear about it in Prospector, a French drain. What does that do?
Okay, French, over in Prospector area, there's a pipe network throughout the entire subdivision that collects groundwater, and that all goes into the system, and it daylights, so to speak, or the end of the pipe is on the along 248. And that was put in to hold the groundwater down so that the homes wouldn't be flooded because of high groundwater in their basements and all. Unfortunately, in that area, it happens to be also a soils contamination area, so the water that comes out of that pipe is contaminated, and the city has been working diligently to address that.
Because that goes into the creek,
that
right?
It goes into Silver Creek or Poison Creek, whatever you want to call it.
Hmm. And then what's gray water? Because we often hear about that.
So gray water is the water that you would use in your home that does not include, say, the commode water. So it would be like shower water, laundry water, water that you use that is not contaminated with fecal material. And in some locations, that's collected, and people use it for their gardens or their lawn and those type of things. You don't see too much of a true gray water being used around here, but that's what it is.
Yeah, and on the city golf course, then, we've got what's untreated water that's just coming from the ponds that's sent through the irrigation
system.
Right,
most of the irrigation in this area is just untreated water from local streams, you know, mine tunnels are being imported in from Rockport Reservoir.
Okay. Any helpful tips for the month of June?
Again, we want to give an invitation out to your listeners to, hey, if you want to see where it all goes, come and visit our treatment facilities. We have quite a few tours going, and it gives the folks a better understanding of when they flush, how it's treated, and how we protect our local environment.
Okay, Mike, anything else you want to mention?
No, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
That's the Executive Director of the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District, Mike Lorge. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW.